objective that we've had, which is to protect the freedom of navigation and to make sure that we protect the ships in that region as well, who are just trying to go about their business and delivering things all over the world globally.
Meanwhile, MPs say Britain's readiness for a potential all-out war is in doubt unless recruitment and stockpile shortages can be addressed. According to the Commons Defence Committee, 5 military personnel replace 8. Protesters who clamour over war memorials in England and Wales could face 3 months in prison. The government promised to act after pro-Palestinian protesters scaled the Royal Artillery Memorial in London last year. Northern Ireland Minister Michelle O'Neill says she contests the UK government's claim that a referendum on a united Ireland is decades away. In a document outlining the DUP's return to power sharing, Westminster said it saw no realistic prospect of a border plan. Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk face a £10 million forfeit for out of their rearranged, undisputed heavyweight boxing show. The fight's been moved to the 18th of May after Fury withdrew from this month's date because of a cut above his eye. Fury says he'll be ready.
We keep moving forward, and now we have a new date. Usyk's crying his eyes out. Tyson should retire, or he wants to retire.
And England's cricketers have taken some key wickets in the last hour, but India have control of the second test. The hosts are 227 for 6 at tee on day 3 with a lead of 370 runs. That's the latest. I'm Faye Rowlands.
It's Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
So, for the weather. Now, in a local area, currently today we are looking at highs of 13 degrees and lows of 7, with light cloud and a moderate breeze. Today, may see a few bright spells between large areas of cloud. However, any sunshine will be hazy. A dry for many, but the odd spot of light rain may drift in for some. Tonight, this evening and tonight, it will become breezy as wind shifts southwesterly. Cloud cover will be variable and brief clear spells will develop in between cloudy intervals. Tomorrow morning, any brightness will be replaced by cloudy skies. Many will have a dry day. However, the odd spot of light rain or drizzle cannot be ruled out, and it looks to be quite breezy. The outlook for Tuesday to Thursday. Tuesday will be dry with variable cloud cover at first, turning cloudy and windy with spells of rain moving in later in the day. The rain will clear for all through Wednesday morning to leave dry conditions and plenty of wintry sunshine. Clouding over late with spells of heavy rain overnight and Thursday to start, but more scattered showers in the afternoon, turning breezy.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 46 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Set in the rearview. begging, please put to stay out of this misery. Cause when I finally fall asleep, it's a beautiful life. Blow your mind and make you say ah when I open my eyes. Baby, that's when the dreams stop.
That's why I hate my, that's why I hate my, that's why.
That one, of course, REM with Shiny Happy People. Do you know what shiny... I feel like people with Botox or something. Shiny Happy People. No, but hopefully, I'm sure he just means glowing with happiness, doesn't he? Yeah, of course he does. You get that glow about you when you're happy, don't you? But when you're not happy, it shows as well, doesn't it? So we've got the lovely Sam Scott coming in to the studio in the next sort of half an hour for an interview to tell us about writing, which I'm looking forward to having that chat. And We've also got, just a moment, so I'm getting the feedback in my ears again. More travel updates coming up at 25 past, and we just had the news and the weather, so if you missed it, you'll have to get it on the next show, which is Kev's show from 10 till 12. So as I say, I was giving you guys a little bit of a sort of light entertainment of what was in the morning papers this morning, and one of the things that I also noticed, as I mentioned just now, there's things going on, of course. What's going on is Valentine's Day, which some of us might want to avoid and some of us may want to partake in. I personally think Valentine's Day is for singles. Some may be inclined to disagree. I don't think it's a day to have a go at your half about not making a big effort, because I think they should make an effort all year round. But Valentine's is really for singles to have a chance, I think, to go out there and try and meet someone. So there's lots of singles events and lots of things going on. I'm doing a singles event myself in London at the Barbican, and that's is that the Leaf and Cane, the Latino bar, and I'm looking to add a few more things to it, like a magician, and I'm trying to make it a bit more interactive and entertaining, because, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit awkward when people are in a room with people they haven't met before, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, how do we break the ice here? So I will be on hand to facilitate introductions and host the evening. If you're interested in getting a ticket, you can find it on my company's website, which is cupidinthecity.com, and you can buy a ticket from there. It's on the actual Valentine's Day itself, and actually I've got my partner going to be joining in as well, because he's going to be doing the DJing, so it all works out really. But yeah, so we've got Sam coming in the next sort of 15 minutes or so, but yeah, if you are looking for things to do that may be, you know, inexpensive ways to spend Valentine's Day if you are in a couple, there are different things that you can do. I mean, there's nationwide, they've got in the papers this morning, things like going for, I mean, suggesting getting a Burger King is not really very romantic, but that was one of the suggestions there. They've got even, Sam will probably like this one. Romantics can enjoy a date with a few ghosts. The original Lincoln Ghost Walk is on Valentine's Day this year. Just turn up at the Tourist Information Centre in Lincoln 10 minutes before the 7 p.m. start. Tickets are £15 for two tickets. And the reason I say Sam might like it is because her book is about ghosts and haunting and all things like that, scary things. So we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. But before then, I'm just going to be back in just a few minutes, because it is time also to tell you about some of the local business adverts. That's what it is. So just give me a few seconds, because for some reason they're not lined up. I had lined them up before and they've suddenly disappeared. See, it's spooky. See, last week it was all going weird on the phone. I was saying to Sam, is it the ghosts that are interfering here? Is this what's going on? Is this why? Hopefully it's not happening again. So I'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll play another song after this, and then yeah, hopefully I think Sam will be in just then, and then we'll have a little chat.
Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut & Spice? All our meals are cooked to order from the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel, and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Talfourd Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytalford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
Get the home improvements you've always wanted at a price you can afford with SEHBAC and our biggest January sale. There's up to 50% off our stunning range of windows, doors, conservatories and extensions, and the option to buy now, pay in January 2025 or 2 years interest free. Transform your home for less with SEHBAC. Get inspiration at your nearest SEHBAC showroom or at SEHBAC.com. Representative 19.9% APR. Terms and conditions apply.
Nothing more. You feel that kind of feeling, yeah. way out of your league, but you didn't care when you stole that kiss on her daddy's front porch. That feeling that you're feeling, buddy, you found yours. Whoa, you found yours. That living, breathing reason you've been looking for. Whoa, don't need nothing more. When you feel that kind of feeling, yeah, you found yours. Come on. Fresh coat of blue paint on a bedroom wall turns to two little feet running up and down the hall. And now it's plain as day what you're down here for. If you were looking for a reason, buddy.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Do you ever wonder why time is always passing by like stars in the night? Even though we're growing old, everything that I've been told, my inner child is screaming out and deep down somewhere inside. I've been holding on to something. Time moves slow, nights were long, days were golden. I've been holding on to something. In my mind, baby, those were the days of our life.
I just wanna press rewind, neon lights and purple skies, go back to the start. Chasing all these memories in paradise, just you and me. I take your hand, look in your eyes, and hold you close just one more time.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
Right, so now time for a quick travel update. Currently, the M11 southbound exit at Junction 8, Bishop Stortford, Lane 1 is closed, and that's currently active until the 10th of February. We expect disruption. The A12 northbound between the A1203 and the junction with the A414 Chelmsford West. Lane 3 is closed with road repairs, and that's expected disruption until 11 p.m. on the 29th of Feb. The M25 clockwise between junctions 26 Northern Abbey and junction 27 Stansted. Lane 1 will be closed and road repairs are planned from 10:30 this evening till 6 on tomorrow morning. The A12 westbound exit slipped to the A227. Lane 1 is closed due to roadworks and expected disruption until midday today. the M25 anti-clockwise between junctions 1A, Erith and junction 31, Thurrock. Roadworks are planned from tonight, from 4 p.m, from 10 tonight till 5 p.m. tomorrow morning. And also the M25 anti-clockwise at junction 1A, Erith lanes 3 and 4 will be closed with planned roadwork from this evening from 10 p.m. tonight till 5 a.m. this morning. That's all for the travel updates, and no traffic to report at the moment. Move there, I think, with Four Tops with Loco in Acapulco. Like, I don't even know where Acapulco is. No idea where that is, but we'll dance to it anyway. So I have my lovely guest, a very patient guest, I must say, after last week. She was patiently waiting for me to sort out the technical issues, but unfortunately we ran out of time, so she's made the effort to come in and see me in person today to avoid any further technical issues. Welcome to the studio, my lovely guest, Sam Scott.
Good morning, Siobhan. Good morning, everyone listening.
Yes. So it's so nice to have you here, actually. I do, but personally, I must admit, I do prefer the in-person interviews, you know, less chance of anything going wrong.
Yes, yes, me too.
So thanks for making the effort on a Sunday morning when you could be having, you know, a nice lazy morning in bed. So I appreciate
it. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. So, Sam, I love that you've got these books out. I must admit, I haven't had a chance to read them all yet, but I will. I'd like to get through them.
Thank you.
Now, the first one that I've got them all here. I've got that you've been very busy because you've already put out 5 books. Yes. Which is incredible. And over what period of time?
The first book, Social Spirit, The Spirit and the Betting Men, A Mystery, that was released in June 21. So they've all come out in that period.
Wow. So you were making good use of the pandemic. You were like, I can't go out.
Yes, yeah, very much so. The first one started, I ruptured my Achilles tendon in a spin class, and I was in plaster for 8 weeks. So I had a lot of writing time at that moment. So it sort of started and went from there, really.
That's amazing, because it just shows, you know, when someone has a situation like that, whether it is we've been locked up in the house or we've had an injury or something, you can just sit there and stick the telly on and yes. kind of just switch off. But you chose to be productive and put out some work, which is amazing. So how did the idea of Sophie Spirit come about? Because I like the thing as well. It's actually used, you know, someone who's also got disabilities. So you've kind of been very inclusive with the character choice there. So how did the idea of Sophie's character come about?
Well, my eldest son was born partially sighted and partially deaf, and suffered huge adversity in his young life.
Yeah.
He's going to be 30 this year.
Oh, incredible.
And he still faces difficulties from time to time, yet he's dealt with it beautifully and he's handled everything life's thrown at him. So it was always in the back of my mind that I wanted to encourage children that everyone is different and they may have a disability that you might not be able to see. And at the end of the day, whatever one's problem, we need to be all inclusive of everyone. And though Sophie does look a little bit different, she is profoundly deaf. Because of her albinism, she looks different from you or I. But, she, you know, underneath, she's still the same. So the idea of the disability stemmed from that. And then my husband and I, we went to a Halloween party, believe it or not, and there was a young lady there dressed exactly as I visualised Sophie my mind, and that's where the idea of the albinism came from, a girl with white hair and pure white skin. And it just turned out that it's an actual real condition that Sophie has that allows her to be deaf and have the albinism and all the other things. So, as well as reading a good adventure, the kids learning something. And then mixed with the fact that we lived in a haunted house at the time, it became the perfect scenario to put Sophie into a ghost story.
Oh, wow. So how did you discover that you were in a haunted house?
Oh, we saw them, we heard them. They did lots of crazy little things around the house. It was all good fun. There was never anything sinister or dark about it. But it was a wonderful place to live. We were very lucky.
Wow. So it kind of gave you, did it give you inspiration? Is this where the inspiration for writing in this particular genre where you've got ghost stories that you've put out?
Yeah,
is that where the inspiration came?
Very much so. Horror has always been my favourite genre anyway. When I was 12 years old, I sneaked back downstairs late one night after Mum and Dad had gone to bed. Goodness, I hope Mum's not listening. And I watched the original version of The Omen late one night. And I was hooked. I've loved anything horror, anything spooky ever since.
Yeah, because it's interesting. I saw in the paper then, like, they were saying some inexpensive things to do for Valentine's Day, is like go for a ghost walk.
Oh, wonderful. Can't think of anything better.
So your husband's a fan of it too?
Not so much horror, but definitely anything sort of spooky, ghosts and things, yes.
Yeah, brilliant. So you've got, so it's like a trilogy? Are they all kind of linked?
Yeah. So Sophie is the main thread throughout the three books. And if you read them, them will grow with Sophie. She's 12 in the first, 13 and then 14. In the final book, I do actually divulge the name of the condition that Sophie has. So right. You'd have to read to the end of the last book to find that out. But yeah, you're basically growing with her. And because of her condition, she's spent a lot of time of her young years in hospital. So she's been home tutored a lot. So you'll experience her visiting hospitals. You'll experience her enrolling in school for the very first time. So yeah, there's a lot to the character.
Yeah, and the other two you've got Saving Shrimpala, and then The House of $100. Because this one, House of $100, I really like the cover of this one.
Thank you. This
really looks like this could be like on the bestsellers list.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it would be nice if it were. So this one is, Sophie are the ghost stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then House of 100 Doors, what's this considered?
It's a horror. It would come under the thriller horror genre.
Okay. So this is about, there's the main character is female?
No, we've kind of got, yes and no, but we've got sub protagonists in that one as well, as well as Imogen, who is leading the story, yes.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, I like to see strong female characters lead because if you think about, you know, potentially adapting this to maybe the TV.
Yes.
Is that something that is a dream of yours, potentially, to have it adapted?
It would be wonderful. It's incredibly difficult to get a book accepted into film or television these days. But, you know, it's as a writer, it's just something that you can dream of, really, and keep your fingers crossed that one day it might happen.
So I love this, you know, in this period of time, in the past few years, I mean, this is incredible that you've managed to I'm really in admiration, actually, astounded that you've done 5 books in like 3 years. Yeah, yeah. That's incredible. So where are you at now? Are you, because you've got another one coming out.
Yeah, the new one's out on the 1st of March. It's called Murder Is Not a Game. That is a middle grade, an upper middle grade. So you're probably looking at about 9 to 12 years. It's my first murder mystery.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited for that one to come out.
So this is, it kind of, does remind me of those sort of murder mystery kind of events and things. So are you quite into your crime thrillers and things and solving crimes?
Yes.
Very much.
Yeah. You know, going back traditionally, Agatha Christie. I can't get enough of Agatha Christie. I've read her complete works. She was the queen of the murder mystery.
Yeah.
And we can learn a lot from the catalogue of work that she's left us.
Mm.
So yeah, if there's a murder mystery on television, you can guarantee I'll be watching.
You'll be watching it. Yeah, love it. I know, like from growing up, like my grandmother used to love and used to make me watch like Columbo.
I love Murder, She Wrote.
It's brilliant. so this is coming out soon, right?
Yes, 1st of March.
That's exciting.
We have World Book Day coming up on the 7th of March, Thursday the 7th of March. And the week that's around World Book Day is my busiest week of the year. I will be in schools all over the county and, East London for that week. And, hopefully I shall be reading that to a lot of the students.
Oh, exciting. So that's the point, actually, as well. So a lot of the books are kind of aimed at a younger audience.
Yes, like, yeah. The Sophie series is a middle grade, so you're looking about 8 to 12 years for those, as is Saving Shrimpala. The only one that's slightly older is House of 100 Doors, which you would class as a young adult because of the themes.
So
you're looking at sort of 12 up to adult for House.
Mm. And what's been the sort of feedback that you've received on
It's wonderful. The best part of what I do is going into schools and reading to the children and seeing their faces when they realise who you are and they say to you, gosh, I've got one of your books at home and you're my favourite author. And as a writer, for me, that's just the biggest thrill ever and the biggest compliment that one can receive, that a child has actually said to you, you're my favourite writer.
Incredible. And I think that's really cool as well, that you're kind of making it accessible for that young audience. Because as you said, you snuck out at the age of 12 trying to watch the horrors. Mm. And I think growing up, a lot of us probably think, you know, books are all meant to be nursery rhymes and all like the sweet stuff.
Yes.
But actually, there is obviously that interest does come from an early age.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. So it's about kind of, you know, making it accessible, making it acceptable as well.
Yes,
to actually appreciate those genres as well.
And when you consider some of the computer games that children are playing now, and themes that they're watching on television, you've got to give them credit. They're more grown up, and they can cope and deal with a lot more sometimes than we think that they can.
True.
And there's a lot of children out there already waiting for that murder mystery and very excited to read it.
Yeah, I bet. That's really cool. And they might grow up to, you know, become detectives or,
possibly.
Or whatever. But it's or it can just be an interest. But, it doesn't have to, because I think that's the thing. Like, I was very protected. My mum wouldn't let me watch anything like horror or even at, 17, 18. I don't think I was even allowed, So it's like... that's the thing. I think when you kind of make things too hidden and you strict them, they almost want to rebel against it even more. So kind of just making it readily available giving them the option to explore.
And of course, you've got to get the content right.
Yeah.
You've got to consider the age group of your reader. It can't be too ghastly. Your wording of how you lay things on the page can't be too upsetting or too distressing for them. So there's an element of knowing how to say things.
Yeah, that can't be easy, actually. Well, it's obviously been easy for you because you've done 5 or 6 books, so kind of. So when did you start writing?
It was on my I didn't actually start on my 40th birthday, but turning 40 was a wake up time for me. I've always been very adventurous. I've always been outgoing. I've always set goals for myself throughout life, whether it's been to climb a mountain or go down a pothole or mountaineering, water skiing, all the things. I've been very adventurous and always tried new things. And when I turned 40, I decided I wanted to try new things. And I decided for my 40th birthday, as a treat to myself, I was going to write my first book and run my first London Marathon. So that year I wrote my first book and I ran my first London Marathon.
So you're very focused. When you actually got a goal, you're a go-getter.
I'm a kind of see things through person. Yeah. I will get to the end.
And did you want to write fiction, or did you want to do more of a kind of autobiography style kind of?
I wasn't really sure at that stage because I'd had no experience. I hadn't studied English literature at college or anything like that. It was just a bit of a crazy whim, if you like, and let's try this to see if I can do it. I started writing for adults and I just found that it wasn't for me. I've always been closely connected with children. I love the way they see the world, and the switch from adult to writing for children came very, very easily. I don't think I'll go back.
I was going to ask you that question, because obviously as children are saying, would you consider, but you've had that. So what was it that you felt that the difference between, was it more that there's that kind of curiosity that comes with children and more of that kind of open-mindedness?
Yes, yeah, very much so. They see the world in such a colourful way. They don't have the inhibitions that we've developed as an adult.
And adults are so critical.
They're just open-minded and... They're easy, what I call an easy reader. Critical is a good word for it. Much so. But they can be critical. They'll tell you if they like it or if they don't.
They're honest, aren't they?
Yes, very honest. I just love the way they see things.
Yeah. And what does your son think of what you've been doing?
I have two sons.
One,
Philip, with the disabilities, he's a school teacher.
That's incredible.
Daniel, the younger, is a doctor now.
Wow, you've done a great job.
And I think they're very proud of me. Well, I hope they are.
They should be. Yeah, you're definitely a huge go-getter. So where can anyone listening get hold of your books?
You can buy them on Amazon now. They're all on Amazon to purchase if you'd like to, ranging from $6.99 to $8.99, or you can head into any major bookstore, and if they don't have it on the shelf, they will certainly order it in for you.
I think everyone should be going down to Waterstones and making sure it's on the shelves in Brentwood High Street.
Thank you. That would be lovely.
It's been a pleasure having you on, Sam.
Thank you very much.
And lastly, how can people keep in touch with you?
You can contact me on Facebook. Facebook. I'm on Facebook as Sam Scott Author. I'm open to messages and anything like that. Do get in touch if you've got any questions. If you work in a school and you'd like me to come in and visit and read to your children, that's always an option as well. Yes, do please get in touch.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And wish you all the best with the launch of your new book as well.
Thank you, Siobhan. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
Strictly Air Ambulance is back, and so am I, Lisa Snowden, and my fabulous co-host, TV presenter, David Whiteley. Join us and our celebrity judges, Strictly's Nadia Bichkova and Kai Widrington, as contestants and their professional dance partners compete for the Strictly Air Ambulance Glitter Ball on Saturday the 9th of March at the Brentwood Centre. All profits go to Essex & Hearts Air Ambulance, your local life-saving charity. For tickets, search Essex & Hearts Air Ambulance Strictly.
Leolino Billericay is an exquisite modern Lebanese restaurant featuring a beautiful, expansive outdoor garden and a private dining room. A perfect setting to celebrate any occasion. We take pride in serving traditional dishes infused with a delightful modern twist, meticulously crafted using only the finest ingredients. To book a table or inquire about exclusive venue hire, call us on 01277 714477 and join us to indulge in the epitome of modern Lebanese hospitality. Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? Not just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
If you're up for a fantastic challenge, for an inspiring cause, why not take on the Baker's Brentwood Half Marathon for St. Francis Hospice? Taking place in March 2024, it's a great opportunity to get fit, make a difference, and be part of Team SFH. For more information and to find out how you can take part, just search St. Francis Hospice Brentwood Half.
She's feeling empty.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.